We again come to you with our studies in the Gospel through Luke, and I sincerely hope that the Lord is talking to every one of your hearts. I have to confess to you the tremendous need in my own heart for some of these very lessons which we're discussing with you day by day, and especially when we come to this one in Luke chapter 11, where the disciples ask the Lord, teach us to pray just the way John taught his disciples. And then we spend time on the model prayer, our personal relationship to the Father, and then the three things about God. Our relationship to God calls for reverence because He's God and He's absolute in holiness and righteousness. And then we recognize His sovereignty and pray that His kingdom will come, where He will rule from one end of the earth to the other. And then that Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this calls for the obedience of His people to our loving Father. Then we have three things with respect to man for our dependence upon daily bread. The need for restoration because of failure, and to be preserved from all the powers of the enemy. So we have daily bread and daily mercy and daily deliverance. Now, after giving to us the model prayer in verses 1 to 4, He gives to us the illustration on how to pray, verses 5 to 8. In other words, if I may put it in a very simple word, we must mean business with God when we are at prayer. Now, let me read the little story. It's very simple. A friend of mine in his journey has come to me, verse 5, and he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. A friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within the house shall answer and say, trouble me not. Don't bother me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give you. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And so on. Let me just stop here. Here you have the illustration, or sometimes called the importune prayer. Or, putting it very simply, how am I to pray? How am I to pray? Now, he gives us this little incident. We must mean business with God when we're in prayer. You remember in Hebrews chapter 11, the 6th verse, we read, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, I've had people say, Mr. Mitchell, if you have really faith, real faith in God, you wouldn't need to ask more than once. Well, now that's not true. You're just whistling to keep your courage up. Remember that our Lord 3 times in the garden said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Our Lord asked that 3 times. Like the story in the importune man. See, here's a fellow comes in his journey, he's traveling, he comes to a friend of his to stay overnight, and the man is hungry. So the host says to him, I have no bread to set before you, but I've got a friend down the street here, and he has plenty of bread. I'll go on and borrow some bread from him. So he went and knocked on the door, and the head popped out of the top window and said, what do you want? I see a neighbor down here, I'm hungry. I've got a friend who has come to me. I have nothing to set before him, and the man's really hungry. Lend me 3 loaves. He said, I can't do it. I said, the whole family's in bed. I'm not going to get up and give you any bread. Go on, beat it. I'll see you in the morning. No, the man kept on knocking. He just kept on knocking. And he just said, okay, fellow, the sooner you get me the loaves, the sooner you go to bed. You're not going to bed and have any sleep till I get my loaves. This man meant business. He just meant business. And the Lord Jesus said, I tell you, he's going to get up and give him all the loaves he wants. Not because he's just a friend, but because of his importunity. He really meant business. Do you know, when I read that little story by our Savior, the illustration on how to pray, it kind of convicts, doesn't it? How often you and I have gotten down to pray and we make our requests, but I've oftentimes wondered, I wonder if we really meant business. And because we didn't get the answer right away, we said, well, I guess I don't have faith, or the Lord doesn't hear me, or you can bring up a great many, many things. No, friend. He wants you to mean business. He wants you to mean business. He wants you to so mean business that you're not going to stop praying until the Lord answers you. Well, you say that's just plain stubbornness. No, no it isn't. Remember, he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And if you mean business when you pray, God means business too. Don't you forget that. Is it James who says, draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you? You dig in Luke chapter 18, the first verse, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And it's easier to faint than it is to keep on praying. Oftentimes, most of us, and I'm sure I'm speaking correctly when I say this, most of us, it may let one or two of you out, but most of us, we make our requests, we make them in the name of the Lord Jesus, fulfilling John chapter 16, get off our knees, and I confess sometimes you're really amazed that God answered your prayer. Most of the time we don't really mean business. May God put it in your heart, in my heart, that when we come before the Lord, we're going to mean business. Now we come to the third thing. I must say this before I close this section. You notice I put down there in the notes, many start well, then they get discouraged, then they give up. And what's the result? They become cold and indifferent. And I've had Christians say, it's no use me praying, I guess I don't have enough faith. And oftentimes I've had people say to me, Mr. Mitchell, you know, I'm one of God's weak ones. Well, I wouldn't glory in that, if that's an excuse for you not meaning business when you pray. Don't alibi. You come in the presence of God. If your heart is really in it, God is there to meet your need. So you have the model prayer in verses 1 to 4, and then you have how to pray, or the illustration on how to pray, in verses 5 to 8. Now he comes to the encouragement to pray, and this runs from 9 to 13. And first of all, he makes the statement, I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And that's very wonderful. The encouragement to pray, our Father's love is the guarantee. He just says, seek, you shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. Ask, and you shall receive. He loves to answer. But the trouble is, we don't ask. We don't mean business. We don't seek. That takes time. We don't knock loud enough. You know, I'm reminded of John chapter 16, that amazing passage in John 16, verses 23 to 28. What our Lord is dealing there with requests. When Jesus said, if I may just quote part of it, in that day you shall ask in my name. And I do not say that I will pray or ask the Father for you. Why? For the Father himself loves you because you've loved me. He's going to answer because of his love for you. But how much do you love him? How much confidence do you have in the Lord? I tell you, friend, it means business. And sometimes the Lord knows what your need is. And sometimes he meets your need without you asking. And sometimes he withholds. Why? Because he longs for you to come into his presence. He longs for your fellowship. You know, if I may give a personal illustration of that, my mother always knew that when we youngsters came from school, the very first thing we'd be asking for would be for some bread. And mother would never give it to us until we asked for it. And she'd go about our business, and she knew exactly when we came dashing up the stairs, yelling at the top of our voices that we wanted some bread. My mother would say, "Is that the way to ask?" We'd ask her quietly, confidently, knew what she would do. She'd pick up the bread and butter it, cut off a thick slice and give it to us. She knew, but she always waited until we asked. And if she was a little hesitant about giving it to us, we shouted the louder. Sometimes she made believe that she didn't hear us or that she apparently ignored us. Oh no, she knew what she was doing. She was my mother. I was her child. And she was always there to meet my need. You see, this is confidence in Mom. Can't you have confidence in your Heavenly Father? Ask and you shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And now what does he do? He gives us an illustration here. Listen to what he says. And this is the encouragement. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? If he ask his father for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If he shall ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now he's illustrating, by the way, I'm going to be blunt here and say this, he's not telling us how to receive the Spirit of God. You'd have to go to other passages for that. He's talking about how to pray. You have the model prayer, how to pray, got to mean business, and then the encouragement to pray. His ear is open. And the illustration used is the relationship between a father and his child. If a son asks his father for bread, what will he give him? A stone? Of course not. He'll give him bread. If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? Of course not. He'll give him fish. If he asks for an egg, what will he give him? An egg, not a scorpion. Now, if you fathers are willing to take care of your children and meet their need, what do you think about my Heavenly Father? If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, what do you think your Heavenly Father will do? He will not even withhold. He will not even withhold heaven's greatest gift to man, the Holy Spirit, to them that ask him. Now, lest someone come to me concerning this, I'd like to suggest, if you want to follow through on this matter of the Holy Spirit, I must say this. This is the only place that I know of in the whole New Testament where the Lord mentions the question of the reception of the Spirit of God by asking. In Luke 24, he told them to tarry at Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. On the day of Pentecost, they didn't receive the Spirit of God because they asked for it. They were just waiting for 10 days. God told them to wait for the promise of the Father. And I question very much whether the disciples knew what was going to happen. 'Tis true they prayed. 'Tis true they were with one accord. 'Tis true they had fellowship. 'Tis true they had a business meeting. But where do you find, apart from this verse, where you're told to pray to receive the Spirit of God? And remember, no scripture is of any private, personal invitation. In John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39, our Savior said in that last day of the feast, he said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive." The Spirit was not yet given because he was not yet glorified. In John chapter 14, verses 16 to 20, we have it again, where our Savior spoke of the fact, the Spirit of God is with you, and He shall be in you. I will not leave you orphans. In chapter 15, verse 26, again you have where the Lord is going to send the Spirit, and the Father is going to send the Spirit. When you come to chapter 16, verse 7, where He talks about the Spirit of God, whom the Father will send in My name, and when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin, and so on. But when you come to the book of Romans, the great doctrinal book of the New Testament concerning the gospel and our position before God, first mention the Spirit of God in the epistles, in fact, is in Romans 5:5, where I read, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which was given unto us. In Romans chapter 8, verse 9 and verse 11, where the Apostle Paul writes, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not of His. And if Christ be not in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also make alive your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. What I'm trying to get to your heart is, the Spirit of God comes to indwell every real believer in Christ. And we do not receive the Spirit of God because we ask. I know you're going to say, well, what about this passage? That's right. But you take the whole context. The question is, Lord, teach us to pray. And He gives the model prayer, tells you how to pray, then encourages you to pray that my Father, my Heavenly Father, is more willing to give what you need than the earthly Father is willing to give to His Son. I wonder sometime if it's ever dawned upon our hearts and minds the wonderful Father we have who sent His Son to redeem us. No wonder the Apostle writes, having given to us the Son of God, will He not also with Him freely give us all things? I'm quoting from Romans chapter 8, verse 32. See, God spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not then with freely give us all things? But as a Father, He loves to have us come and ask for them. Now, I'm not saying, I'm going to say this, people say, well, Mr. Mitchell, it was when I sought the Spirit of God that He met my need and gave me the Spirit. I want to tell you this, He didn't do it according to your doctrine, He did it because of the cry of your heart. A great many people have experiences and they try to have everyone else have the same experience. It's the heart, it's the yearning of your heart. It's the hunger of your heart that God meets. And if I were to go into all the doctrine of the Spirit of God in the New Testament, I'd point out this is the only place that I know of where He ever tells us to ask. The Father will give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. But it's an amazing thing. The rest of the passage in the Gospels, our Lord says, I will ask the Father. I will pray the Father. He will give you another comforter. We have no record that the disciples ever asked for the Spirit of God. We have no exhortation in the epistles to ask for the Spirit of God. And even in the Gospels, except for this one passage. What do you mean? I mean here that He's dealing with my Father, my Heavenly Father. Looks upon me as His child, and I'm His child. And because He loves me, and because of this relationship, He will not withhold anything from me, not even heaven's greatest gift, even the Holy Spirit and all His power. Remember, this was before Pentecost. This was before the Spirit of God came into the world to indwell believers. After Pentecost, the Spirit of God indwells all believers. I want to make this very clear to you. What I'm trying to get to your heart is, this question of prayer. I think it's one of the commonest doctrines that are taught today. Nearly every preacher talks about praying in one way or another, some aspect of prayer. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if it's one of the most commonest topics for preachers to preach on, praying. But do we pray? Do we mean business when we pray? Do we know how to pray? Do we know for what to pray? This is what I'm getting at. To me, it's a marvelous thing. The very first thing is my Father. I worship Him. I want His will to be accomplished in my life. I pray that His kingdom may come. Then I trust Him for daily things. I want to walk pleasing to Him. I want to walk in fellowship with Him and with my brethren. And I want Him to keep me from temptation, from the powers of the enemy. And I want to be real in my praying. And then I realize that my Father will not even withhold heaven's greatest gift. Oh, what an encouragement. If you're the weakest of God's child, He still wants you. He still wants you, my friend, to talk and walk with Him today. Won't you do that? You might be the weakest of His children, but He's waiting for you to come into His presence, cleanse you from everything, and have blessed fellowship with the living God. May this be your portion today.